you to turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and then we'll go to 1 John chapter 5. I want to talk about life and light. We was at the end of the chapter of John 1 last week. I want to go back up to the top and do the first 9 verses. I wanted to do them both last week, but this time won't work that way. That'd be way, way too much. But you know, there's a world that we live in, and the Bible talks about in Genesis that there's light and darkness, and God separated them. And life is important. Without life, we wouldn't have anything. And I'm talking about spiritual life. This is maybe going to be a couple Sundays, I guess. Well, Mother's Day is next week. We'll see. But it's amazing how, if you'll listen to people or you see the news or anything, you'll find out that there's specific separation between light and dark with the way people believe. People will tell themselves really quickly when they begin to try to explain what they believe. I want to thank the church, everyone here. You don't probably understand like a pastor does, but I've been pastoring for a couple years now, and this is the third church, and I've never been able to go this far. 2 years, been here last Wednesday, April 30th. And because you're led by God and hungry, God's allowed us to move faster and go deeper than I've ever been able to go with anybody. I've got to go deeper, because that's what the Lord wants y'all to understand. And it seems like we run out of time some Sundays. But for example, we have folks that are in darkness. And with all the money and technology, we'll send somebody to the moon, or they'll be able to send something out in outer space with all that they think we know, and find a leaf or a vine on Mars, and say there's life on Mars. The same people, a baby in a womb is not life. That's sick. That's dark, is what it is. And we're a witness of what God's done inside of us. And John teaches about that in the first chapter, in the first 9 verses. There's life in us before we're saved, but there's eternal life in us now when we are saved. Darkness is separated for a reason. And what we're supposed to be doing every week and every day we live with the Lord's help is we need to get the separation farther and farther apart to know more about the life and light that we have through Christ, and know the darkness and where it comes from, and not apologize. Not be misunderstood, not any accident of what we believe and what we really understand to be the truth. We need to leave a light on when we leave. And that light has everything to do with spiritual life. The older I get, the more I find myself wanting to pour into the grandkids. More and more. I poured into the kids, but they're busy as I am, or worse. And busy right now. So when we pour into them, we check up on them every once in a while. But the younger ones, they really need some life, okay? That's what we're here for. And pray. And we are the light, aren't we? Of the world, and the salt of the earth. Probably more salt is needed these days and times. This morning I want to talk about the light and the life. And I want to ask if you would divide your heads as we pray. Father, we thank you for your love and your power, the life you giveth to us, and the light that you shed in our hearts. Lord, open us up this morning to your light, and the life that you have for us. Help us to understand what we need to do, how we need to do it. Bless each heart this morning, and continue to help us to grow deep and strong. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and that's capitalized, and you study that back and forth, that's Jesus. Jesus was always here. He was always the Son of God. No one can explain it. We just believe it. All through the Bible, Jesus is referred to as the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's the light that God gives us. That's the witness. You'll hear a lot about a witness today. God's factual witness to us, as He wants us to know that Jesus the Son and Jesus the Father and the Holy Spirit are all three in one. That's the truth. That's the facts. It's not up for debate. It's not something to back us down because we can't explain it. But Jesus was in the beginning. He was with God, and He was God. The same, verse 2, Jesus was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him. We ought to not have to go any farther than that. But Jesus created everything, didn't He? All things. In fact, if you don't understand what all things about, He clarified in the next sentence. And without Him was not anything made that was made. So all the things we know that we've discovered that we might see with the telescope and all the science, all that was made by God. And everything that was ever made anywhere that you don't know about and I don't know about that will never be found out about, Jesus made it all. There isn't anything that was created that Jesus didn't create. That's a fact. That's what we need to understand is the truth. Nobody can change that. Nobody can debate that. Then in verse 4, in Him, Jesus, was life. From the very beginning of Genesis 1, life came into the world. Jesus did it. And life was the light of men. If anybody has any light, it came from Jesus. And any light that I have, Jesus put it there. Verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Now, there's a lot of folks, scientifically speaking, that don't believe in creation because they've studied evolution. The darkness. It's not creation. It's darkness. And the Bible says that the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it or not, or further down received it not. He came to His own, and His own comprehended Him not, received Him not, didn't want nothing to do with Him, rejected Him. That was last week. But people can study without ever opening the Bible scientifically and prove that there's no such thing as evolution. But the same scientifically sound people that reject revolution has never come to the conclusion that God, that Jesus created the world. They can do that. They are still in darkness when it comes to salvation, but they still have enough knowledge that's so obvious that somebody had to create or something had to create the world that just didn't evolve. It just didn't happen. I was a young child, and there was a preacher that ruined a real good watch one day. And I had a little plastic watch that didn't work, but you didn't tell me that. I think I got it out of a Captain Crunch box or something. But I thought it was pretty much real, and I was proud of it, and I wore it. And this preacher had a cup, just a plastic cup. He took his watch off, and he started tearing it apart. Little gear by this and this and all this, everything, and threw it in the cup. And he was teaching about evolution. And he said, I'm going to make this right here, and it's going to take a couple million years, but it's going to end up just like the watch I just had. And he just threw it in the air. And he says, now let's stick around and see if it works. And everybody laughed. He said, it's that silly, isn't it? Talk about our bodies, our brains, and our organs. And it's specific. It never changes, does it? If something evolved and changed, nobody could study it. Because if they studied it at this phase, and you wait a while, then somebody else is going to have to do something, because that's not like it used to be. Things have to be constant. They have to be sure. They have to be exactly right and stay that way for anybody to study it to find out what it is. It's hard to diagnose things, isn't it? Sometimes there's wrong diagnosis. Sometimes people will find out something later on if they went deeper. And what they used to believe is different because they have more knowledge. Right? But the problem that people have by not reading the Bible is God separates light from dark. He did in Genesis. Didn't he? And one of these days when we get to heaven, Jesus is going to be the light. Because there is no darkness. And as John teaches us, especially in verse 5, this is the most important point in these sets of verses, that the light shineth. It always shines. It never, never, never turns to dark. It never goes out. It never dims. The light, Jesus, not just a created light, the sun that we know, but Jesus, the sun, S-O-N, he shineth all the time. Never stops. He shineth in the darkness. Doesn't even know he's around. Doesn't care. Doesn't comprehend. But here in a minute, I'm going to show you that it's rejected. Just like last week. It's rejected knowingly. It's rejected willingly. And the biggest problem that folks have is they think, and some preachers will say this and pray this, that Lord, turn the light on. Well, the light never goes out. He opens people's eyes to the light that's already shining, that's never going to go dark. That's the truth. He's always there. He's always light. He's always shining. There is no darkness in him. In fact, it's closer to being a definition of blindness. And folks that are blind, their problem is they can't see. Physically blind, I mean. And some of them that have had this happened later on in life, they remember what things used to look like. You could describe the sun, you could describe a sunset, they would know. But there's some people that were born that way. I can't imagine that, can you? Never saw anything. How would you explain to them colors and objects and things like that? It'd be hard, wouldn't it? They would have some concept, but they couldn't see because they were blind. What we're talking about is not blindness in that way, but blindness knowing that there's a light and refusing to ever have a light shine on them. And God will do it for them. There's some people that God's not shining the light to. He's not bringing them light because they've rejected him. They don't want anything to do with him. But the witness of creation, you can't deny it. You can't get away from it. The witness of facts and things in the creation in Romans chapter 1, we won't turn to it, but Romans 1, Paul says that the very creation leaves every man without excuse that there's a God and that he's a Godhead. He's a powerful God. He's a creator God. All the creation is a witness to every man that light's come into the world. Whether they believe Jesus did it or not, one day they will. Okay. One day there was nothing, and God created it. One day we were lost, and in darkness without any light at all, and God lit up our life, spiritually speaking, and saved us, and we can see. Lost people don't understand spiritual things, but they can and they will when the light of Jesus Christ comes into their soul. And you see, the darkness that we're going to talk about today is a judgment. And what we need to do today is understand first that the people that are living in darkness are already judged by God. I've had people for years say, "You're judging me." I said, "No, I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you about the one that judges what he says." And I had a guy one time say I was judging him, and I was. But I told him, I said, "You better be glad God's not going to judge you. You'd rather have me judge you, I'm sure, because I don't know your heart. I don't know your mind." But he does, doesn't he? So there's a witness of creation to all the world. People say, "Well, what if they don't ever hear?" That's impossible. Because of the witness of creation. Every individual that comes to the age and understands and can understand will understand about God first with the witness of creation. And then the Bible says spiritually in Titus 2:11 that the grace that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. That's what it says. All men, the grace of God, and it distinguishes the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. There's another witness beginning in verse 6. John, a man. The witness of John. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Think about that. John's a witness that all men might believe. Well, he was just here for a little while and died. How could he reach all men? Because he's in the Bible. And we've got his witness written down, don't we? And what a witness he was. Even before he was born, the Bible says some things about John the Baptist, doesn't it? He leaped. When Mary and Elizabeth got together the first time, before Mary and Elizabeth even got close enough to say hello, John the Baptist leaped in his mother's room because Jesus was in Mary's room. Isn't that right? And he was here for a reason, and I'll do all the things about John's witness. But John had a witness from God when he baptized Jesus, didn't he? A dove descended down and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." God spoke in literal, physical words to John the Baptist, the witness. John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus coming, he says, "Look, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world." We've got John's witness that John had, a little bit of it. Like us, we want to be a witness. We don't have a choice but to be a witness. John was sent to be a witness, and so are we. He had a mission. His mission was to bear witness of the light, not the darkness. The light. If we would spend more time on the light of God, we'd have more enemies than if we judged everybody. When our light shows up, before we say anything, I've had it happen every week that I've been at Nissan. I hear them over there, and I hear what they're saying. Earplugs don't work for me. The more I put them in, the more I hear. I don't hear the machines, and I don't hear the line, but I hear people talk louder. And the bad things that they say. And all I got to do is look in that direction and I hear, "I'm sorry, preacher, did you hear that?" They know. I'm a witness somehow. You know, so are you. People do that to you, don't they? There's a witness that bears the light even if we don't try because of who we are and what we believe. And the witness and the mission has a message that men need to believe. John the Baptist came, and what was his sermon? "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And it's today the same in the scriptures, isn't it? John the Baptist's witness that all men might believe. That was the goal. That was the process. That's us too. We don't have specific. I do. I mean, I've got a couple individuals in my family that I pray for by myself for them. Nobody else knows. But I also pray for my witness to be a light to everybody. That's hard to do. In fact, that's what will point you. You get to be a preacher or a deacon or try to be righteous in front of people. And it's not long before they'll pick something out that you're doing that you never even thought about. I've had that. "I can't believe you did that. You're a preacher." I go, "Did what?" And then they was wrong, thank God. You know, and they don't know the times I have done wrong. That they could have said that. But the light that we have is a witness. And most importantly, in verse 8, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. John the Baptist, as a human being, is gone. Daddy's gone. He was a witness to me. I'm going to be gone pretty soon, and so are you. We're not the light. And if we were, it would die when we did. Jesus is the light. We're the witness. And that light's as good as long as he's alive. And when is he going to die? He never will. He did once, didn't he? As a human. But as a spiritual life, he's always been here, hasn't he? We're not the light, even though some people want to put us up there. They want to put us up there so they can knock us down. They put us up there so they can feel good that sometimes they might see us being perfect and they could have fun with us. But do that to Jesus if you want to mess with the light. I'm just a witness. You can take a court TV or whatever. I remember I had a shoulder surgery years ago, and I got into watching court TV. I got good at it. I could even cross-examine Sandy sometimes, but it didn't work for long. But you can take a witness, and what they try to do is destroy the witness. Because in a crime of some sort, nobody was there but the witness. And the witness, everything revolves around what they saw and what they say and how they say it at that particular time. But they add your character in it. And they'll have witnesses against you that said, you're not a very good witness because you did this. And I've had people that said, well, I couldn't be on the jury because I'm just as bad as they are. That's what the devil wants, isn't it? But we're not the witness unless we believe. And because we believe, we're a witness. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. Here's where it's going to get very, very pointed. Maybe more pointed the first time that you've heard me preach. But we're growing. And we need it. 1 John chapter 5. Here's how you become a witness. You believe. 1 John 5 verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. The witness, the Holy Spirit, is a person, isn't he? The Holy Spirit comes inside of us, the witness, when we believe. If you was to be called upon as a witness this morning of your salvation, that means you're saved. In order you to be an accurate witness, you'd have to prove in your own heart that I know I've been saved. I know I'm saved. I remember when I was 11, I remember what was going on. I remember the conviction. I remember the sleepless nights. I remember the preaching. I remember the day pretty much when I went up and said, I need to do something. Preacher didn't do anything. He came over to the house and talked to me and prayed with me and baptized me later on. He felt pretty good about me as a witness. It was kind of sad that he didn't feel that good about it. But as I grew, I had a witness in myself to go back and know that. No debate, nobody else could have ever, still today, talked me out of what happened in my salvation experience. I'm a witness. I know God saved me. I know I'm growing. I know he saved me because of the devil kept in me all the time. The doubts that I have. That never happened. He puts me on the stand. Satan does. He says, you need to prove that. You just did this. I just had to know you had this thought. And he'll try to destroy this witness and tell me that, oh, you never did. But I go back to the other side and understand the order again. I'd like to drill this into everybody. I know I'm saved because the devil never came to me and tried to make me doubt till after I had a witness that I was saved. I know I'm saved because I doubted. And I know I doubted because it was him that tried to destroy this witness. That's the way he works, isn't it? John, 1 John 5:10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. That's pretty pointed, isn't it? That's where I've become as a Christian in a prison. Not all the time. In some certain cases, I tell people to read the Bible, read this text. And you're not just unbiased. You're just not checking into it. You're not planning on getting saved one day. You've rejected God in such a way and in what so much in depth of your sin that the way you're acting, you're calling God a liar. His witness of creation, his witness of people around you, his conviction by the Holy Spirit to tell you that you know you're lost and you're blind and you're dark and you're rejecting, you're calling him a liar. There's people to this very day that are calling God a liar. Every day, all day. They're calling God a liar because the scripture says, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. We believe that Jesus Christ was sent by God the Father. He's the Son, don't we? They have a record too that they go back to and say there is no God. Jesus and God, that's a joke. It's a trinity. Oh, what, you got three heads? They'll make fun. They'll argue, they'll debate. And what they're doing is not believing. And people that don't believe have their own record of rejection. They'll be inconsistent and liars. There's life on Mars, but there's not life in the womb. Give me scientific proof, they say, of what the Bible says. Show me a scripture where it says I can't do this. They'll debate and argue different denominations and different teachings, but that's not the record. If they can keep it generic, they can keep it general. If they can keep it within an argument, they can't lose. But when the record is stated that Jesus Christ came to die on a cross, his Father's sin, he was crucified for my sins and your sins, and he died, didn't he? But he rose again, and I'm saved because I believe the record. It's a record because a record has to do with documentation and a physical documentation of here's what happened to Jesus. When we keep it spiritual, then anybody can be right at any time and we can agree to disagree. But there's a record that's kept in God's Word and all around the country in that time that Jesus Christ was guilty of blasphemy, saying he was God. And they didn't have a choice but to have some witnesses against him and have a trial, found him guilty, and condemned him to death on the cross for the shame and embarrassment that the liars thought was right. But they have to lie, don't they? Because they know not the truth. And see, that's just about immoral. I told a guy one time he was immoral, and he thought it was some weird, perverted thing. I said, no, you're not following the morals. You're immoral. You're not moral. When you lie and you steal and you go behind somebody's back, it don't have to be like the preacher said to me when I was a kid when I heard him preach. It's not a bottle or a blonde. It's immorality because you disagree. You lie. You reject. You're unwilling. That's immoral, isn't it? And you see the record. God's keeping a record. And the record is that Jesus came to die for us. And when we believe on Jesus Christ, before we really even grow up knowing it, we have his witness. The Bible says in Ephesians that God's Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm his. From time to time, we get one of those glory fits, I used to call them. Nobody's around and I'm in the car and God blesses me and somebody could drive by and say, what's he crying for? God just touched my heart. And I know he answered a prayer. I know he heard me. He blessed me with the understanding of a scripture. I've got a record of the witness. How about you? Have you ever had that experience? That God's blessed you so much. And it didn't matter what you've done or what anybody could accuse you of. God will break you down. And you'll shed some tears. You'll say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for bringing me through this that you just got me through. That's a witness, isn't it? We shouldn't be ashamed. Somebody else could make something up and leave the record out that God says is a record. And what would we be saying would make God a liar? It's sad, isn't it? People are lying today, aren't they? The law is so clear, isn't it? Every law that we have on the books can be broken. We can be in trouble. We can get sued. We can go to jail. But there's a double standard today. There's the truth and the lie. There's the light and there's the darkness. And the double standard proves it every time. My side can do what they want. And it's not wrong. Your side needs to pay. And I don't want to go any further than that, but you know the politics that we're in right now. There's liars on every side that refuse to live the truth honestly before God and hold people accountable. God's going to hold us accountable, isn't he? And if we have the witness in ourselves and we're mixed up in the world, it's impossible to mix up light and darkness. But we try. There's a record, isn't there? Verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and thus life is in his Son. They don't know life because they don't have Jesus. They don't have any light that shines all the time, doesn't it? It shines in the darkness. Darkness never does anything to the light. And I get confused and I get convicted and I know I'm wrong. It's hard to see the light. It's still there, isn't it? When God opens my heart and gets me right, it's clear again. I can see the light shining. And I've always said, Lord, please let it shine. And of course, I'm human, so are you. And we fight that battle every day, don't we? But that record is eternal, isn't it? Eternal life. He that hath the Son, do you have him? Huh? He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things, the record and the witness. I like this. I had somebody tell me, well, you just can't know you're saved. You don't know until you get there. And I plainly ask you, what if you don't get that? You're late, isn't it? People, they would. You just can't know that you're saved. You need to work good, and you may need to pray and go to church. But you can't know. There's no scripture in the Bible that says you can know you're saved. Look at verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, that ye may know that you have eternal life. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. What we need to do is not to be ashamed of being a witness. Rape and murder, adultery, all these things, they're sins, aren't they? The law, the moral law, the Ten Commandments. We're going to commit them and keep committing them in some form because we've got a nature that's never going to go away. It's just the way it is. And there's no reason to get on to people about the sins of the flesh. They need to worry about the sin of unbelief and why the light isn't shining. Huh? Where would we even start? I learned a long time. I think I preached it here before. Everybody's doing everything everybody else is, aren't they? Where do you define sin? I like that. Somebody says, well, it's a sin's a sin. You know, most people that say that are the ones that are doing something. I said one time, I'll never do it again. I said, there's five people in this church doing such and such. And I was wrong. There was eight people that called me. That either was mad or wanted to confess or wanted to know, how did you find that out? But you know, we can know, can't we? We know because there's a witness. And we shouldn't be ashamed. We need to be careful how we talk and reason with people. But we shouldn't be afraid to stand against the darkness that's in people because it's a lie. It is. I mean, we should start with there's men and women and that's it. And somebody says, well, that shouldn't be in church. It's in the Bible. And it better be in church. All these moral issues and all these things in politics. Why is the politicians talking about them and not the church? We're not saying any party affiliation or nothing, but it's wrong to do illegal things, isn't it? And then you've got some people that will make sure it happens and pay for it to happen. That's another story altogether. But I'm not ashamed. And you shouldn't be either. Because the greatest thing that's ever happened to me is to think about being a witness. I was there. Jesus preached through that preacher and said, "For all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God." I was 11 years old, but I knew I had sinned. I was a witness of it. There was things I did by the time I was 11 that nobody knew but my older brother. He knew about everything about me. Still does. But I was a witness that I had sinned at 11 years old. And the Bible was taught that the wages of sin is death. And people that die without Jesus go to hell. And when I was 11 years old, I had a witness that I'll never forget. That was me. Lord, I'm lost and I'm a sinner and I know it. And even as an 11-year-old boy, I couldn't sleep, couldn't go to school, couldn't play hardly for a little while. Because there was a witness that was out here accusing me. And it wasn't the devil, it was the Holy Spirit. And one day that witness really got a hold of me. And I heard the preacher say, "You need to repent and confess the best way you know how." And I did. You know what I'm a witness of? That witness that was on the outside convicting me came on the inside. And I know it because I'm a witness to it. And nobody can tell me any different. And it wasn't a lie, it was true. It happened over a period of time. God let me understand. He shined His light to let me know that I was lost and He could save me. He opened my eyes to the light that was already there. And from then on until now, I've been a witness of many things. I know I'm called to preach. I tried my best to get out of it. Quit for 12 years. Got out of church. Miserable, miserable, miserable life. Nobody would have ever known it either. Wouldn't have known it. I did, because I was a witness. I could tell you. I could sit on the stand and talk about me and say, "Oh man, you just don't know." I know so many things, spiritually speaking, this morning. Because I was there. It makes me a witness. And I want to be a witness while I've got time, don't you? I've got people that need to see the light that are blind. That have never done anything to anybody. They're just little kids. They might have swiped a couple of cookies now and then. But they're going to come a day when the light shines on them from the outside and convicts their hearts. And they need a witness, don't they? God sent me like He did John to be a witness. Not a liar. It's one or the other. Light, dark, liar or truth. Don't be ashamed. Begin to work it out. It's stunning to people when you first start preaching like that. We're not trying to make people feel guilty or even convicted. Only God can do that. But just to see the difference and the separation that God gives us. I need to go back and begin to be a witness and be glad and thank God and keep moving up. A witness. A witness is somebody that's there that needs to happen. A witness is somebody there that the devil will try to tear apart and take away their assurance. Which, because he's doing that, proves without a doubt that you have a witness, and his name's Jesus. We need to be a witness more and more and more and more. We can because we believe. And he that hath a witness has him inside of us. That's the Bible, isn't it? And I don't know about anybody this morning, and church is the best thing I know to pray and to study and invite people to come to know the Lord. But you are a witness. I had a guy a long time ago, preacher, to come go witnessing with me. I said, I can't go, I already am. Either I'm a good one or a bad one. I don't know how you go out and witness. I knew what he meant. But if you're a true witness for the Lord, and you're around people that aren't living right, and you give them the true light, you might not get to be around them for a while. We shouldn't enable people and justify what they're doing and give them a 2-second gospel track message and then apologize for it. That's not right, is it? I've had people come to me and say, you need to stop eating that. It'll kill you. Let me tell you how I know that. I almost give up peanut butter because there's people that really have problems with it. And I don't. And there's sugar stuff I have problems. I'm diabetic. I guess everybody knows that. It's hard sometimes. You know? And we'll work on that. But this morning, you're a witness because you was there. And because you're a witness, you have every privilege and every right to stand tall and bold and tell people about the light. Somebody that's blind just needs to see. And the only thing that's going to open their eyes is the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Not our justification to tell them how sorry they are and what they're doing is wrong. There's some fleshly things people never quit. They'll do it the second they die, and it's not against the... It's just not a big deal compared to unbelief, is it? We need to believe and be a witness and know that we're a witness. And being a witness takes everything away from me. It gives me the power, it gives me the strength that I need. Because nobody's going to tell me any different about my salvation, about my calling, about my kids or grandkids. Because if there's a witness going to be them, it's going to be me. I want to be there for them. Because I want to be the light sent to them. And you know, the next thing, the last thing, is we can only be a witness to the light. We're not the light. We're going to go one of these days, aren't we? But Jesus, the true light, and the Holy Spirit that's light, he's going to be here forever. And if we be the best light we can be, they're going to pick it up from there, and they're going to be a stronger light. And the world's getting worse and worse, isn't it? And the light needs to stay on and be on stronger. And when we're gone, those that we were a witness to can carry it on stronger and stronger and stronger, can't they? Pass it on and pass it on and pass it on. We shouldn't be ashamed. If we are, we need to get right. There's people that God calls liars. And we see them every day on TV, on the radio, in the news. And by the record that they're trying to destroy and make laws and fund, they're doing a really, really, really good job, but it's all darkness. In them can be no light at all, but there's light in God, isn't there? He's in here. And that light that we let shine, my daddy told me a long time ago, he held a light bulb up, and he said, son, you see any ears or any mouth on that light bulb? I said, no, sir. He said, it's just supposed to shine. He says the whole lot. In fact, when it's not shining, it's burnt out. It'll never work again. I don't want to be like that. I don't know that I can. I don't want to be. But be a witness. Today, if you're here and you're lost, you don't have to be a liar And you might not even be that far of rejecting. But you can be saved. You can believe. Today's a good day, isn't it? You need to come and pray. Can you talk to me afterwards? This week, call me. Get a hold of me. I'll be glad to pray and talk to you. But if you're here and you are saved, you want to come to the altar and pray. Lord, I need to be a better witness. I need your light to shine brighter. Pray to God. He'll do it, Lord. I want to ask you to stand this morning.